Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our souls. Lord, surround us in this place, then breathe new life within, send a refreshing Lord to saturate our your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Just surround us in this place and breathe new life within. Send a refresh to purify our hearts. Rain on us, Lord, breathe on us, shower down, send your spirit, just rain on us. Sit down.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. This is the Father's house.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is not the hog pen. Glory to God. It's good to be in the Father's house and not in the hog pen.
Amen. Glory to God.
There's peace in the house, joy in the house, healing in the house, prosperity in the house,
yes,
salvation in the house. Amen. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this assembly gathered this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to the believer. We may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Sister Mary is away today. So, there's no telling what we might get into. Well, I guess we'll start out in the book of Acts and we'll see where that winds takes us. I was in chapter 23, and I think I stopped at verse 11, where Jesus appeared to Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, you must bear witness at Rome." And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Well, I reckon they died a miserable death. Because they didn't kill him. Paul outlived them by quite a margin if they kept their vow. They didn't live too much longer, but Paul did.
You read this, and I think the same thing you think. That is pretty funny, but this is just how fanatical,
yes,
these people were.
They were crazy, man.
About opposing Paul.
Yeah.
And opposing the word.
And Christians.
The same way until God knocked them off course. Yeah. So it's just, it's really kind of,
Yeah.
That you can find 40 people who are willing to do this.
Yeah.
People do it today.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of folks that are very fanatical.
Yeah.
Against the Christian,
absolutely,
Jesus,
and absolutely,
and we're seeing that today.
That's true.
And so we shouldn't be surprised because we got
now here's some.
Here.
All right, let's go to the Book of Revelations. brings me to the Book of Revelations. That brings me to the Church of the Laodiceans. All right. Now, so what you're saying about these guys is very true. These guys were very zealous. They were very zealous. As Paul was zealous, they were very zealous. As Isis is zealous, these people are very zealous, okay? And that's not always a bad thing. I mean, it's a bad thing, but it's not the worst thing. The worst thing. And we talked about this in our Revelation class, that hate and love are not opposites. They're not opposites. Because they're both passionate. What is opposite of love, and it's also the opposite of hate, is indifference. You just don't care. I don't care. So what? And that's what you were dealing with the Laodiceans. Jesus said, "You're neither hot, nor are you cold. You got no passion. You just don't care. You can't do anything with people that don't care. You nothing. If you don't care enough to do stuff like this, these people obviously cared a great deal about their religion. Now you can do something with that." Just like Paul got when he got straightened out, he was a great asset.
Yep.
But you got some people that just don't care. They're worthless.
Mm-hmm.
They're worthless.
Yep.
It won't do anything. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get anything out of it. Nothing. And that's where the Laodiceans were. And unfortunately, that's where most of the church is today on this planet. They just don't care. Yeah, it's all right, you know. Yeah. Live and let live.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. It's all right. Just don't bother me. I'll live my way. You live yours. I won't bother you, you know, I mean, all that. You know. You live your lifestyle. Live your gay lifestyle. Live any kind of lifestyle you want. Just don't, you know, I don't care. But, you know, well, you can't do anything with folks like that. And Jesus said, you know, because you're like this, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I'm fixing to vomit you out of my mouth. In other words, he was sort of telling the church at Laodicea, you all make me sick. You all make me sick. And that's the way the church in America is today, basically. Mm-hmm. There are a small minority of American Christians today, and frankly, I ain't never been out of the United States, so I don't know anything about Christians outside the United States. I hear about them, but I got no firsthand knowledge of. I do have firsthand knowledge of folks. I've been all over this country, and I got firsthand knowledge. And I can tell you that we got Laodiceans left and right. We got them everywhere. I see Laodiceans everywhere. They're everywhere. I don't know what you do with them. Not much, apparently. But you know that's what you don't want. What you don't want to be is a Laodicean.
That's right.
Let's get passionate. Let's get excited about God. Let's get excited.
I'm excited about going to heaven, my friend.
Yes, amen.
I'll let people know that too.
And you know, I mean, you know, we might disagree about some things, but if we had to wait until we were all 100% correct about everything, not one word of the gospel would have ever been preached on the planet. Not one word. Because I got news. Peter, James, John, all those guys were not 100% correct in everything that they taught. They weren't. Paul got into it with Peter, and so you know, you can't wait, and your pastor might preach something you disagree with. So what? Go on. Let it go. Mm-hmm. You jump up and run off to another church. Guess what? Your pastor's going to preach something you don't agree with. And so then you start your own church. Well, guess what? You're going to say something you don't agree with. So we can't let stuff like that, you know, bother us. We got to keep going. Yes, Ann.
We have to remember that everybody has to stand before God individually.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stand
right.
with nobody else. So
that's
no
right.
No matter what they do, they got to stand before God.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. And if you are really zealous for God. Stuff, you know, a lot of stuff is not going to bother you. It's not going to move you, you know.
Right.
As long as we're all zealous for God, and we all love the Lord, and we're trying our dead level best, and we're passionate about our religion, we ought to be able to love one another, and encourage one another,
Amen.
And get along with one another.
Amen.
We ought to be able to do that. Yes, that's true. Let's don't be Laodiceans. Whatever in the world you become, do not become a Laodicean. So I like these. I got to say one thing about these guys, like Brother Ray pointed out. These guys were serious. They meant business. I mean, you got to be serious to bind yourself under a curse not to eat or drink until you've killed somebody. Now, that's pretty serious. Now, they were seriously wrong, but give them credit for the one thing that they were absolutely. They were hot. They were cold or whatever. They were not lukewarm. Laodiceans, they were not, okay? All right. And verse 13, and they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will not eat, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him, pray, and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea. All right, so what was a centurion?
Soldier over.
He was a captain over 100. There you go. That is the definition of the term centurion. A century is 100. So you got centurions. This is a Roman centurion, which means he's a captain over 100. And you got two of them. So that means they command 200 men. So he got two centurions together, 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen, 70, and spearmen, 200, at the third hour of the night. Well, that was a small army. 200 centurions, 200 spearmen, and 70 cavalry to escort one man. He wasn't taking any chances. And provide them beasts that they might set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth unto their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee, and he gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullius, who informed the governor against Paul. And when, this is the Ananias that Paul cursed in the last chapter, because he had him smitten on the mouth. We talked about that, because Paul said, I didn't realize, I shouldn't have said that, and I didn't realize that you were the high priest. But anyhow, we won't go back into that again. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Praise the Lord. That's a great testimony. It would be a wonderful testimony if any one of us could say, could be said about us, if we could be accused of being a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. That would be a wonderful testimony. Praise the Lord. Who also hath gone about to profane the temple. But we know that that is absolutely false. That is a lie. So now here we have, of course, here we have another example of this. This is a speaker, not the author. The author didn't say that Paul was a profaner of the temple.
No.
The speaker, who was a wicked man, said that Paul profaned the temple. We know that that's not true. So we know that everything that's in the, that you see written in the Bible is not true. You got to find out who's talking.
Yeah.
Who's speaking? Yeah. We got liars in the Bible.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. This is a liar. He's lying. All we know is that this is a true lie. I mean, this is... he actually said this. The author says, we know because the author said what he said, that that is true. That sort of reminds me of what our president said a couple of days ago. The leaks are true, but the news is fake. The leaks are true, but the news is fake. But anyway, this guy is lying. Now Luke told us truthfully what the man said, but he's not vouching for what he said. So Paul was not a profaner of the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do thee more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation in offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had anything against me. Or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me, while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. All right, that's a good place to stop right there. I don't want to finish the whole book this morning. Now I'm reading a lot of scriptures. But anybody have any questions about any of this, or any comments about any of this so far that we talked about this morning?
I just had to laugh, you know, whenever, just imagine what Paul was thinking, you know, whenever they put him on that beast, you know, whatever beast that was, you know, and had all them guards surrounding him, knowing that all those Jewish people were trying to kill him. That just made me laugh, you know, I wonder what Paul was thinking, you know. Look at what God's worked out here. You know, he's got all these Gentiles.
Yeah.
That don't even believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Surrounding him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, to protect him from supposedly the good guys.
Yeah.
Supposedly the good guys. It does almost. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.